Well, this morning I'm going to step out into the deep a little bit for me. No, not really for me. I'm going to be obedient to him. But let's turn, let me just talk for a second. Creation. We can see that God is the God of structure and order. That's what I was talking about. He doesn't change. He is a structure and an order to things. When you just look at the creation of God, the earth, they say if it was just a little bit closer to the sun, a few inches, we'd burn up. A few inches the other way, we'd freeze to death. You know, each thing is just right. The moon's just right. Helps bring in the tide of the ocean. You know, things are in order. And God has an order in things. He has a structure that he's set up. And even for the body of Christ, as we seek him and look to him as our foundation, you know, there's definitely order there. There's certain words that cause people to assume certain things in the body of Christ. You know, if I say the word deliverance, everybody's got a certain attitude or a certain idea. Maybe it's good, maybe it's bad, maybe it's right, maybe it's wrong. You know, people said, well, it used to be they had the buckets out. Got to put the buckets out to have deliverance. But deliverance comes also from the Word of God, amen? When we get His truth and we know that foundation. Or you use the word, you know, intercession. Or if I said groaning, you know, he was groaning in the Spirit, you know. Everybody gets a different idea. You know, but today I just want us to take a look at something. And you know, and sometimes there for a while they had the, if I said the word shepherding, some of you'd say, oh, you know, I was under that, you know, where the person over them was telling them every little thing they could do. You can't buy that car unless I say so. You know, you can't marry that person unless I say so. How many know God has set us free? Amen. But there's usually some kind of truth, somewhat of a truth to those things that the devil's afraid of and all that. And even things that sometimes get awry. But today I want to share a verse in James chapter 4 again. We were there the other day. But I want us to talk a little bit more today, because I mentioned a word last time and I talked about submitting to God. And sometimes when you use the word submission, people get all kinds of ideas. You know, they especially, you know, the wife is supposed to submit to that husband. Well, it does say in the Lord. And he's also supposed to love his wife. So if you don't take it in context, it gets out of balance, doesn't it? You know, because sometimes a young man will get married and, well, I've got a problem, Pastor. My wife won't submit to me. Well, have you been loving her? Well, I think so. You know? Have you been letting her know how much you love her? But the word submission sometimes brings a good or bad connotation to people. You know, they see it as something that, well, I've got to submit. What does that mean? And so I want us to take a look here for a minute in James chapter 4. But I want to start in verse number 5. Do you think that the scripture says in vain, the spirit dwells in us, that dwells in us, lusts to envy, or is envious? But he gives more grace, verse 6 says, but he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resist the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Verse 7, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, verse 10, and he shall lift you up. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaks evil of his brother and judges his brother speaks evil of the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you're not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judgest another? And it goes on about, really, humility. Go to now, you that say, today or tomorrow we're going into such a city and continue there a year, and buy and sell at gain. Whereas you know not what you shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It's even a vapor that appears for a little time, then vanishes away. For that you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now you rejoice in your boastings. All such boasting is evil. Therefore, to him that knows the good he to do, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Stop. We can stop a little sooner, but I want to just back up and concentrate here, because if you see in this context, he's really talking the difference between pride and humility. What he's talking about is, he's saying, submit yourself therefore to God. If you submit yourself to God, you can resist the devil. Those are opposites, aren't they? If I submit or if I resist. He's saying, God's saying, I give grace to the humble, but I resist the proud. So God's saying, if you'll draw near to me, I'll draw near to you. As you what? Submit yourself to my plan, to my purpose, to my will. What I have for you. To submit means to yield oneself to the will or authority of another. The Greek says to rank or to arrange under. In other words, it's a rank or arrange under. In other words, he is Lord, I am not. That's the way Gary puts it. He is Lord, I am not. You know, we're under the lordship of Jesus and under the lordship of God Almighty. To resist Baal means to resist or to oppose authority. How many ever seen people that just continue to oppose authority? Maybe it starts when they're young. You know, maybe their parents didn't train them very well. They get in to be a teenager and they just continually go against the authority, and finally they find the final authority of a police officer or the law of some kind, and they stand before a judge and they are sentenced, aren't they? The day of reckoning comes. And so if we don't submit ourselves to God, there is a time when we're going to have to stand before him and give an account. What is your life? What did you do with your life? And each of us has a life and a plan that God has given to us. And it is our job to submit our will to him. To take our will and say, Father, not my will be done, but your will be done. And to allow him to purge us of anything that would resist or oppose his authority. See, the enemy came against God, didn't he? He began to oppose God's authority. How did he do it? He did it with the pride, didn't he? He said, pride, he was lifted up. He said, I can ascend above God. I can be greater than him. And really, without saying it, when we begin to do our own thing and we don't submit it to God, or at least say, Father, you know, not my will, but your will be done. I believe this is what you're saying, Father. And we remain teachable and humble. You know, if we don't say that, then really we're saying, I know better. I know best. We're not saying it out loud, but we're saying it with what we do and what we say. And by the way we act, by saying, Father, I'm going to figure this out myself. Because I've been alive for however long you've been alive. Maybe it's 18 years, you know, every teenager becomes great. You know, they have good vision. I thank God for them. They have great energy. And I'm not saying all of them. You know, I don't feel like, you know, it's not necessarily rebellion. It's just a finding of who they are. Trying to find their place in God, see. A lot of times we try to say, well, what are you going to do with your life? Make a decision. You decide. You know, when really we need to say, help them to discover God's plan and purpose. Amen. Because there is a plan and a purpose for them. And when you say, if you'll spend some time with God, and sometimes parents can help in that. Say, I see this in them. I see that in you. You know, not saying you have to tell them everything. You can't. Because God, you know, a calling or a place in God comes from Him. And only He can share that with each one of us. But there's a submitting to Him. There's a laying down our will. There's a drawing near to God. He begins to draw near to us. He says, cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts. Don't be double-minded. But allow Him to bring His mind. The mind of Christ will keep us from being double-minded. The Word of God gives us that truth, doesn't it? Keeps us from being, giving our own input to what He desires to do. We think this is the way. So it's, you know, sometimes there's a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof is death or a separation. You know, it's not a true fullness of what the Father desires. But as we realize and we bring ourselves before Him, we say, Lord, yes, Lord. You know, when I act in pride, I'll fall. I'll weep before You, Father. I'll mourn, and I'll let my laughter be turned to mourning and what I thought was right to be able to be submitted to You, Lord. See, Jesus had to submit His will to the Father. Remember in the Garden of Gethsemane, they went out to the garden after He had taken the cup and He broke the bread. He said, this is My body broken for You. I'm getting ready to go to the cross and be broken in Your behalf. I'm getting ready to take Your place to become sin for You. And this is My blood of the covenant, of this new testament, of this new covenant shed for all men. I'm getting ready to take on this once and for all, this final sacrifice that I will become for You. And He said, I have to go to the cross. It must happen. This is the Father's will. For He found the Father's will as He sought Him, as He drew near to the Father. Remember, He would go out times all night in prayer. Jesus spent the night in prayer before He chose any of His disciples. He would spend many times. He would be up early. It says early He arose. He went out. He was gone. They didn't know where He was. And then He came. And what did He do? He said, you guys go to the other side. Here He comes walking on the water to them. Early in the morning, He'd been up seeking the Father's plan and the Father's place for Him and what God had for Him to do, what His Father had sent Him to do as the Son of Man, to be that sacrifice. But His will had to come into subjection. They went to that garden and He said, Father, if there's any other way, Lord, not my will, but Your will be done anyway, Lord. Whatever it is, Father, Your will be done. And sometimes there is a... He had to allow His self to become... I mean, He didn't want to go through with that death. He didn't want that separation from His Father. And sometimes there's separations in our life from things that mean something to us. Maybe it's separation from family members. Maybe you live somewhere where they're not, and you want to be close to them. I would love to be very close to my family, but I'm here and they're there. Or maybe it's other things in your life that seem so dear at the time. Sometimes it's not, you know, people say, well, that's not a real big thing, but it might be big to you. It might mean something to you. I had a real good friend, and he just didn't feel he could go anywhere. They didn't have racquetball. He loved racquetball. He was good at it. He was one of the champions. He was real good. But God sent him to Mexico, and they didn't have any racquetball courts in Mexico, or very many, you know. There may be a few, you know. And he says, well, I have to lay that down. And it sounds like a big thing, but to him it was kind of big at the time. You know, if it's something that means something to us, it may be something small like that. But if it's taking up what the Father has for our life, then we have to lay it down. We have to humble ourselves in the sight of the Lord that He may lift us up. He's not going to lift us up in ourselves. He's going to lift us up in Him and what His purpose is for our life and following the plan that He's given. See, the nature of that unregenerate flesh is to be selfish and prideful, isn't it? It's to just do its own thing. I've got it figured out. Now, Father, I know, you just set me on the right path, and I know I can take it from here. You know, I mean, sometimes anybody ever felt that way? I mean, seriously, sometimes we think that way. The mind, the natural mind wants to say, well, this would be great. I'll do it this way. You know, I know if I get this going, Lord, I won't have to worry about money anymore if I just do this. You know, but it's not in His plan for you. You see, it's taken you away from this time with Him. Or maybe it's working over here because He's got a plan to rescue somebody else or to teach you something that you need for when you are in another place in Him. Hallelujah. And you don't want to miss that. Glory to God. So, a lot of times, every one of us, we're going to have to work with people. There's people in your family. There's people in your life. You say, well, I don't like to deal with people. I just like to be by myself. And we understand what you mean, but you're still going to have to be around people at some point. You know, you have to go to the grocery store sometime. You're going to be with people somewhere, some way. And you're going to have to work with somebody. And usually, you have to work under someone. And there's a submission that takes place. And maybe you know more than they do. Maybe you're smarter than they are. And maybe you really do have a bigger degree. And maybe you really are more qualified, but you're working under somebody that, you know, you don't know why they put them in charge, but they did. Someone put them in charge. Well, why are they in charge? How come Brother Doug's up there and I'm not? I don't know. You know? How come I'm not up there? How come I'm not teaching, Lord? How come I'm not preaching at the prayer center? I know just as many scriptures and maybe more than he does. I'm smarter. I'm better. I have a greater call. I know I'm more anointed. And I don't doubt that. I don't doubt that. But God's got a plan for each of us. A plan for you. And a plan for me. And there's things that he's working in my life that wouldn't be worked another way. There's things he's working in your life that wouldn't be worked another way. Because the doors are not shut to you. The doors are wide open. The world is ripe. The harvest is ripe. It's white into harvest. The Father said it's ready. Hallelujah. You know, everybody says, well, you preach at the prayer says you don't have anything. No, the world is ripe. I'm telling you. The world is ripe to harvest. There's people all around me. I don't have any problem finding anywhere to speak because the Father has made the harvest ready. It is white into harvest and we're going to see it come in. And sometimes we're seeing such a harvest, we're having a hard time keeping up, getting the babies grown up. You know, but I saw a little thing about China last night. The guy that's the president of ORU was talking about China and how some of them are beginning to mature now and they're beginning to grow up. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And the leaders are coming up in the church and they don't really know who the big leaders are. Nobody knows their name, but there's some big churches underground. They say there's like 100 million Christians in China alone. Maybe not the most per capita, but they got like one of the greatest amount of Christians for one nation. Hallelujah. And so it's growing and they're maturing. And God's word is getting sent forth. And we're going to see an explosion here pretty quick. All around the world, God's getting ready to big a big harvest here. Hallelujah. But it's our job to draw near to Him and let Him draw near to us and to allow His plan to come forth as we submit ourselves to Him. And sometimes, like I said, we're all going to deal with people and we're going to have to submit under other people. And they're going to say, well, who put you in charge? You know, somebody would be, you may be in charge, and who put you in charge? Well, God put me in charge. He sent me here. See, Pastor Dave's the pastor of this church. I'm not the pastor of the church. Pastor Dave is. And he graciously allows some of us to speak here as the Lord leads. And they're submitting under the great shepherd. Hallelujah. When a Pastor Dave says you don't teach here, then you don't teach here. Because he's the pastor, right? Hallelujah. Or any church. If you go to another church, they said, no, you cannot speak here, then you can't speak there. Well, God told me to go, did he? It's kind of like going to the barber shop, right? For some reason, the pastor didn't get the information. And God does work, as I said, submission, somewhat of it is a rank. You know, if you go to your job, you know who the boss is. Everybody knows the owner. If he comes around, you know, you may not see him very much, but he comes around once in a while. You know the owner of the business that you work for. May see him a lot, you may not. You know who your manager is. You know who's over him. Maybe there's somebody over him, and then there's your manager, and maybe there's the guy there, and then there's you. And there may be somebody under you. Or there may not be. You may be the end of the road there. But there's somebody that you're over. Because you have to work and you deal with people. Maybe you're a customer manager. Well, guess what? You're in charge of those customers. You got to treat them right. Well, I work at a restaurant. Well, yeah. You should treat your customers right. Because that's your job, see? Your manager and the boss and the owner is counting on you. And you're submitting yourself to that company to receive something, to receive a paycheck. Now see, God's paycheck doesn't come every Friday, but he does pay. And he pays good. He's faithful. He'll always take care of us. Amen? Hallelujah. Sometimes it doesn't look like it, but we're not moved by that, are we? We're moved by what he said. I'll meet all of your need. Amen. The other night, I think I said that I hadn't gotten rich yet, not from preaching. But God made me rich a long time ago, 2,000 years ago, and he's got enough, and he knows how to get it to us. Hallelujah. Just throw that in. Hallelujah, because it's the truth. But we'll be working with people. There's going to be people that you may be responsible for, that God has you over. And there's safeguards in the Word for that too. It says masters are not to exercise hard control over those that work for them. But yet we're to see that it's fair and right. Amen? And we're not to exercise our will over other people. They still have that choice. And in the kingdom of God, it's especially so because every man has a free will. God didn't exercise any control over Adam. He said, Adam, you choose. When Adam chose to eat of the apple with Eve, or whatever it was, the fruit, or of the forbidden tree, he did the wrong thing. He did what God asked them not to. God didn't come down and stop him. And when someone does the wrong thing, you know, my boss doesn't come down to me and say, don't do that. He tells me later. He says, oh, no, you could have done this better, do it this way, you know. Shouldn't have done that. Okay, you know, he might be forgiven, but depending on what it is, you know, I might get fired too. You know, but there's a rank that God has set up. He set certain people in authority in the body of Christ. He said some pastors, some evangelists, some apostles. You know, Pastor Dave, he operates a lot here. He is the pastor, but he's also apostolic ministry. He sets doctrine in the church. And we're to listen to that and think about it and apply it to our life and allow the Holy Spirit to help us to make it our own. And when people are over us in the Lord, there's a freedom. Because you can know, because you've got the Holy Ghost in you, whether it's right or not. Okay? Maybe at first, you know, there's some things that have been said, you know, through my life from different people that I thought, well, I don't know if that's so. But as we continue to draw near to God, and he draws near to us, the Holy Ghost shows us truth and error. And that's our key. We have the great Holy Ghost too. And that's where we have a responsibility also to seek after God, to draw near to him, to submit our life to him. Say, Lord, not my will, but your will be done. It's not my responsibility to make sure Gary's here every Sunday. Now, wouldn't that be strange? You know, you or me or all of us start calling Gary. Now, Gary, you're going to come Sunday, right? You're going to teach. Every week we just call him, you're going to teach, right? If that's not our responsibility, then we don't really have any say. That's not our job. God didn't give that to us. But he gave us the job to be here and to supply our part and to say, Father, what do you have for me today? What is my part, Father? Am I supposed to smile at somebody? Am I supposed to find that new person? He may say, sit with them. He said, well, what makes you think he's going to tell me to sit with somebody new? Well, he's done that to me. They've never been here before. Go shake their hand. Go sit next to them. Okay. Well, isn't that just as important? God's interested in the lost. He's interested in every person. They'd never been here before. That person had questions. They didn't know Pastor Dave. They didn't even know Gary. They didn't know anybody else here. They just came. They heard something was going on at the prayer center. They came. And they needed somebody that they could ask questions to. You're that person. Hallelujah. Because you have a place. And you add your faith to what's happening here. When we all come with expectancy, things are different. How many know things are different? I remember they were talking about the revival that they had in Brownsville. And the guy said they'd stand out there at 9 o'clock in the morning, begin to line up for church, 7 p.m. People would start out at 9 o'clock. You imagine by 7 o'clock, the expectancy had risen. It had kept going higher. People were expecting, they came expecting God to move. See, if we come expecting, knowing God's going to do something, it's going to happen. There's an expectancy that's here now. It's building, amen? We're expecting the Holy Ghost to take over and to start healing people. Hallelujah, which he already has and is, but it's going to grow. It's going to increase. And we have, each of us have our part, and part of that is to bring an expectancy here, to bring our worship. You know, we've had several prophecies about worship. If each of us is worshiping God and seeking into Him, there can be an atmosphere that draws people in. People that maybe they don't know how to worship, but boom, they just got sucked in. How many know that there's atmospheres like that, amen, that God creates? They can't be created just by yourself, but it's created in a corporate setting. We submit to that, and we submit to what the Lord is doing. Can you submit to somebody else's vision for a while? Lay down your vision and submit to what God's doing here at the prayer center and find your place. Like Pastor Dave, what he would say all the time and what he says a lot of time is hang your mantle at the door or set it up on the shelf, you know. Don't try to find what I'm called to right now. We're coming in to pray and to seek God and to find His plan and His purpose. And help bring to pass something that God is desiring to do in the earth, which is to bring a revival that men in our generation have not yet even touched. We begin to touch, but we haven't really reached there and received it to the degree that we want to see. Amen. To where every person that comes, where they can bring somebody in the wheelchair and everybody knows. How many knows? If somebody's got a back problem, they're probably going to get healed here. 99% chance, right? You know, their arms are short or their legs are short. Everybody knows it's going to happen. Can't you see that with a wheelchair? What about if they have no legs? You see those legs grow on? That kind of expectancy. They're going to come. Oh, things are happening down there. There's going to be an expectancy. And if we have that expectancy, it's going to increase. It's going to grow. Can continue to come forward. Hallelujah. But can we submit to another's version and leave yours on the shelf and say yes. Yes, Lord, with a smile. Yes, sir. With a smile, with the right attitude. Can we follow directions and be humble and submitted? I was thinking about that today. Have I followed directions? You know, I probably haven't followed all the directions. God forgive me. You know, but Gary said several times, if you have not listened to the Born Again Trail, which is 60 tapes or 60 messages. It's all available on at daveroberson.org. If you have not listened to that, then you have nothing else to do right now. If you listen to one a day, it'd take you a couple months, you would be through it. You know, you can take some notes, pray in the Spirit while you listen. Get a hold of that. Let that become a part of your foundation. You know, other things have been said, I think Tim said, just from the conference. You know, read your prophecies at least 10 times. I'd like you to read them 50, but have you read them 10 times? Well, I'm not sure I even looked at them yet, but it's not too late. It's not too late. You know, Gary's also said, if you haven't read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you don't have a whole lot else to do. You need to read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and see Jesus in there and find what he did. Set him as your pattern for your life. Can I follow directions? Hallelujah. What does it mean to submit? It means to yield, to give in. What does it mean to rebel? To resist and not give in. When we're not yielding to God, then we're resisting, aren't we? You see, sometimes people think, well, I'm just not going to worry about it, not think about it, you know, but how many know if you don't start thinking about salvation, you know, you're not going to get saved, right? If you don't eventually say, Jesus, be master of my life, you're not going to make heaven. You know, everybody says, well, there are other people. Yeah, there's people I've known that, you know. You talk to them, well, when the time's right, I'm going to get saved, you know. I'm just not ready yet. Well, Jesus said, today's the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. Right now. This time to be born again is now. The best time to begin to submit to God is right now. For His plan and His purposes that He wants to come to pass. You know, are we praying for our pastor and seeking God for him and with him? You know, when we pray for those that are in authority over us, there's a blessing. God said it'd go well with you. Not just, you know, said for kings, but all that are in authority. Hallelujah. That includes our pastor, our pastors here. You know, Gary and Tim and those that are in the office. And, you know, submission is something that happens all the time. You said, what do you mean? Yep. When you came here today, you submitted to what's going to happen in the service. When you go home today, you're going to be the one that's submitted to you because that's your house. That's your home. You see, it goes both ways all the time. You're constantly submitting to God, but you're also constantly being the one that's submitted to. I mean, people, I don't come over to your house, or I'm not invited to Kim's house, and she's having a party, and I go over there. All the other people, I just got there. Well, we just came in. My wife and I came in. We said, well, we don't like the way you have your furniture. We're going to change it. You know, I think you should put your sofa over here and your love seat over there. It would look so much better. But sometimes we think it would be better. You know, when we come to the church, we want to say, well, I have my say. I have my say-so. Well, you may end up having your say, but that's not a submitted heart to God. It's not someone that is submitted to Him. So, well, I don't have to do what somebody else says. Well, if you're in their house, you do. If you're in their house, you do what they do. You do it their way. Well, we pray after we eat. Okay. I've been to houses like that. You know, they were Catholic. And they said, well, we pray after we eat. You know, you may utter a silent prayer, you know, but you're not going to take over and say, well, no, we're not going to do it that way because I don't do it that way. And you know, they may end up doing it your way, and you may have had your say, but you're not going to be invited back. You're going to lose your friend. You're going to lose your witness. The opportunity to win somebody to Jesus. See, your life and your witness is everything. You know, people do it all the time. There's a terrible mistake on your phone bill. It's $500 now. It was only supposed to be one or 150 or 200. And you're trying to work it out, and they say, well, it's 500. God may just tell you, I'll pay it. You say, oh, I'll pay it. What? You know it's wrong. They might even know it's wrong. But you go and pay it because your witness is at stake. I know a particular pastor that happened to. He went, he and his wife, they were trying to resolve their bill from one of their home bills, and it was higher than it was supposed to be, and it was wrong, and they were trying to explain it to him. And they said, well, this is what it is, what we have. He said, we'll pay it. That lady has been in their church now for 12 years. She said, I was watching you. See what you do. Are you going to get upset? Well, no, that's not right. And I'm not saying that you can't, discuss things and, get it right. And maybe there was a mistake, but if they didn't have a mistake, they said, this is what it is. God says, go ahead and pay it. Well, that's my money. Is it? Does it belong to you? Or is it submitted to God? I had a particular person that was borrowing some money from me, and they kept borrowing a little bit, and got to be a good little bit, and I finally realized they can't pay me back, I forgive you. Well, why did you do that? Because I want to be able to have that voice in their life. Because otherwise, that's constantly coming between me and them. I'm not saying I kept loaning them money. I stopped loaning them money. But I realized they can't pay me back right now. Maybe someday they could, but just forget it. It's just money. It's a material thing. It can come to you. Money comes all the time. They're making new money every day. They're printing it all the time. It's coming, It's available. And God knows how to get it to you. But it's not going to be at the cost of, we're trying not to let it be at the cost of our witness. See, that's everything. Yeah, but no, it's everything. That life, you may be the last person that they see. You don't want to be the one that they resisted God because of your attitude, because of my attitude, because of what we thought was right, because I have a right to say something. Yeah, you may have a right. You may get your say. But we have to answer to someone else, and that's God. Amen? I don't know why I'm talking all this, but it's all good because he's been talking to me. Hallelujah. So I want to have my life right with him. I don't want money or things. I had a particular person that everybody says, well, why didn't you? They were wanting me to give it to them. Let them have it. They borrowed my vehicle just for a minute. Oh, I just need to run down to the store. I said, sure, brother. And they took my new vehicle that I had gotten, newer vehicle. It wasn't brand new, but they were coming out of the store, the Starbucks. They got their coffee and totaled the vehicle. It's a total loss. And they called, and I went over there. And of course, the situation wasn't making me real happy. I wasn't happy. I'm sorry that it happened. I wish it hadn't happened. I wish I hadn't gave them the keys. It's partly my fault, right? But, the insurance, I said, that's why I have insurance. It's all right. But somebody else was there. They thought I should just let them have it. How come you're not getting on to them? I said, well, what do you want me to say? You shouldn't have hit them. No kidding, Well, why did you pull out in front of them? I didn't see them. Oh, well, that's why they call it an accident. It wasn't on purpose. They weren't trying to destroy my vehicle. Well, you should sue them and get what it's really worth. Really, I should. And destroy the possibility of ever speaking into their life, possibly causing a hurt in them, to where they don't draw near to God, where they never fulfill God's plan for their life. Yeah, maybe God will forgive me. Maybe I do get forgiveness. But did I leave collateral damage to someone that couldn't get back. It pushed them over the edge. Maybe they never had anybody in their life that ever thought good of them. Maybe they never had a forgiveness in their life. See, people need to be forgiven too. Even though God forgives, He said, we forgive even as He forgave, just like Jesus does. Whew. Hallelujah. Well, I got to take some notes. Hallelujah, Jesus. It's good anyway. So when we yield, we give in. When we resist, we don't give in. In other words, we hold out. You know, anybody ever held out on, you know, God wants you to do something, but you're just kind of holding back a little bit. Now, God, I'm not sure I heard you, but you know you did. You know, are you sure that's what you want me to do, Lord? You know, yeah, but Lord, that's all the money I have. You want me to give all of it to the church? Well, it's only $20. So, yep, that's all I got. You know, it's all I have. Or maybe it's to your friend, or maybe it's to your neighbor. Or maybe it's to that unsaved person across the street that you know needs a little gas money. And he said, give it. Or it could be bigger. Like I remember Gary teaching, you know, what if he tells you to pay your neighbor's rent? He lost his job. You're paying his mortgage. God, that's $1,500 a month. Lord, that could really win a lot of souls. You know? Well, were you planning on giving it to the church? You know? Well, maybe not every month, Lord, you know, but, you know, some, you know? And we try to negotiate, like I remember Alan was talking about last week, I think, or anyway, a little while back, about negotiating. We try to make some kind of deal with God. You know, God's not a deal maker. He just gives the instructions. Can we follow the directions? Hallelujah. Or do we resist? Hallelujah. So like I said, it's all talking about humbling ourselves that we may submit. See, you have to humble yourself to submit to someone, don't we? We have to think, you know, not that we're thinking they're great. We're not bowing down to any man, but we're humbling ourselves under the hand of the Lord and unto the Lord. Whatever we do in word or deed, do all to the glory of God, right? Do it all unto Him with the right attitude. See, that's where sometimes we submit. Anybody ever seen that child? You know, they talk about the child that they're finally doing the right thing. I said to sit down, and they're sitting down, but on the inside, they're standing up, see? God sees, see, man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. So sometimes people might, you might fool me. You might fool everybody around you. You know, you might even fool yourself. You know, but you're not fooling God. He knows the heart. And He sees the heart. And He sees the attitudes that we have. And sometimes it's not always what we do, but it's the attitude that we display. Say, well, how do you know that? Well, because I've had to give myself an attitude adjustment before. I remember one time I was just serving the Lord. It seemed like, Lord, what is wrong with me? Why am I, what am I doing? He said, you need an attitude adjustment. I said, oh. In other words, maybe I was a little bit complaining or I was a little bit unhappy with my situation. I was allowing it to affect me rather than let the joy of the Lord rise up, amen, and count it all joy. My attitude needed to be adjusted. Just simple, nothing, you know, may not be anything big, but sometimes we need a little adjusting. Hallelujah. When we draw near to God, He'll let you know. Sometimes He just does that to me. Oh yeah, thank you, Lord. You know what He meant, you know. Whoops, I let that attitude out. It wasn't fully love. But divine love, you know, the flesh nature tries to, you know, it's selfish and proud, but divine love, it's unselfish, which is the nature of our spirit. The real nature of who we really are comes forward. But as we humble ourselves, the Bible said, God gives more grace. He giveth grace unto the humble. See, when we humble ourselves, His power comes alongside with it. See, grace is God's divine influence upon our heart. We're exchanging our weakness for His strength. He's divinely influencing us. When we humble ourselves, it says, God giveth grace unto the humble. And that nature that's on the inside of us is not a proud nature. It's a nature that doesn't mind being humble. It doesn't mean that we're weak. It doesn't mean that we have to draw back. See, humility is knowing that God is all. Knowing that He is all, and only in Him is truth. Only what He wants is what's right. Hallelujah. Knowing that, that in Him I'm strong. And because of Him. Doesn't mean I'm weak. Doesn't mean I'm bowing down and let every person run over you. No, if they're wrong. I mean, I'm a security guard. I have to stop people. That means I'm the law enforcer. I enforce the rules. And sometimes I don't like to enforce the rules. Maybe I don't fully agree with the rule. Maybe I don't like the rule. Sometimes God's got rules we don't like. Some people don't like some of His rules, but He set them there as guidelines to protect other people and to protect you. See, God didn't set out laws in His Word. The law of love is to protect you and to protect other people. If you love, you're not going to steal from them. If you love, you're not going to covet their stuff. If we're in love, we're not going to try to make accusations against them that aren't true. Or maybe they are true and we're not going to speak about them because we love. Love covers. Love covers. See, we're under the law of love. If we love God, then when we draw near to Him, we're going to keep pursuing Him. We're going to humble ourselves before Him, and we're going to desire His purpose. We're going to desire His plan. We're going to say, Lord, I don't know it all, but I'm learning. None of us know it all. We're not in heaven. And even when we get there, I think we're still going to be learning. We're still growing. We're still going to mature. We're still going to allow Him to change us from glory to glory, faith to faith, even as by the Spirit of the Lord, that nature that's on the inside of us is growing up. It's becoming who God wants us to be. It's submitting itself to the Lord. Hallelujah. It may look like the best thing you've ever seen, but maybe you don't know what to do yet. It's good to wait on His direction. Something better could be right around the corner. He says, what? It looks good. It seems okay. Let's see, if it's not quite, it's not right. We need to allow our spirit to guide us and to allow ourselves as we draw near to Him to allow Him to bring forth His plan that can purify our hearts and keep us from being double-minded. But let me just say this. When God sees rebellion, the Bible said it's as a sin of witchcraft. It's opposing Him. God doesn't like rebellion at all. He doesn't want us to resist Him. When we submit to Him and we're receiving His plan, His purpose, then the resistance that's in our flesh gets less and less. Even though it's going to war against us. Because we're learning how to continually submit to Him. The more you submit to Him, you'd start out with a little. It'll get a little easier. You'll get a little more. And the resistance will get less. Because you understand the difference between your spirit and your flesh. His Word takes place, and we say, okay, Lord, your word is what I'm going to stand on. Your word and what you say is what I'm going to receive. When we make that determination, we say, okay, Lord, you said it. This is what I'm going to do. Then we solved a lot of our problems when it comes to resistance. Because the enemy is going to resist us, our flesh is going to resist us, and sometimes in our soul. See, it wars. The Bible says our flesh wars also against our soul, our own mind. It wants to come up with its own plan and its own purpose. And to say, well, Lord, let's do it this way. Now, if you talk it over with him, you know, there may be things in your life. He says, that's fine. We can do it that way. That's fine with me. But remembering he's in charge. And he could change that plan at any time. Amen. If he gives you a certain instruction, he might want to be done a different way next time. So we have to continually draw near to him. Continually humbling ourselves, continually submitting our will with what? That humility. Because humility works hand in hand with faith. You see, when we humble ourselves, it gives us grace and allows us to exercise what we believe, which is his word, what God believes, and we come into agreement with him, and his plan is then able to be established more effectively. Hallelujah. Well, let's just lift our hands right now. You can stand up if you want to, but Father, we just submit ourselves to you. We thank you that you have a purpose and a plan, and that, Father, we yield to your purpose, to your plan, to the places that you have set us where we're under authority, Father. We yield to doing the right thing, Father. We yield, Father, our heart and our lives unto you. And we thank you, Father, for the privilege of drawing near to us, that we can draw near to you and you're drawing near to us, and your plans and your purposes are coming to pass in the name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah.